Jazz at Caveau de la Huchette. Marcou Lindros. The multicolored neon tubes of the Latin Quarter began to glow, humming their temptations into the crowding street. Everything was exactly as it had been the night before, and every night before that, complete with pickpockets, scammers, and the touts outside the Greek restaurants loudly bickering over hungry passers-by. Just the right ingredients for a traveler's adventure, the kind that yields a colorful tale to take back home, and perhaps a few bruises, a bout of food poisoning, or a missing wallet to spice up the memories. You all know how mishaps turn into invaluable stories, provided, of course, that your life and health are still intact after the experience. One of Europe's oldest jazz clubs is a dirt-begrimed, smoke-stained medieval cellar vault, packed tight with intimately rubbing human flesh. Intrigued by the place's reputation, I pushed my way into the crowd. The saxophone ground and wheezed thick tones. The drums pounded out some strangely rhythmed improvisation. The double bass thumped along to its own beat, and a large black man, raspy voiced with spit in his throat, channeled Louis Armstrong. A sweet scent of marijuana drifted through the thick smoke hanging in the air. The band is on fire. I grab a beer and wedge myself next to a button-nosed girl to scout for a vacating table at the edge of the dance floor. It has been overtaken by a jovial, drunken crowd. A curly-haired man leans forward, wildly drumming rhythms against his knees with dinner spoons, chasing after every single note. Every now and then, his neighbor howls like a wolf. The floor sways and writhes, losing itself to the beat of the music. A drunk, scrawny man gropes a busty woman. Jazz is alive. With a laser-sharp gaze, the saxophonist rips into a passionate solo, sending the room into a hypnotic, swaying trance. The button-nosed girl coughs, offering me the burning joint she just hit, smiling as if I were suddenly her type. I shake my head, patting my chest as if I have a lung disease, and take a long swig from my beer bottle. At the same time, I try to signal through the noise that anything else goes, pressing close against her in the crush of the crowd. The cellar of Caveau de la Huchette is no place for talking, so I point a finger toward the ceiling. She nods, takes my hand, and begins leading the way up the stairs toward the exit. We find ourselves out on the street, gasping for fresh air after the smoky cellar. Testing the waters, I ask her, "What now?" She laughs and says in unmistakably American English,
"Don't be silly. I know just the place to go, and I'll hold your hand if you're scared."
She links her arm through mine and adds,
"After all, this is what you wanted."
We buy a bottle of red wine, a baguette, and some cheese from a food kiosk, and sit down on the pedestal of a nearby statue to eat our rations. The day is cooling into a chilly night, and we huddle side by side, shivering, like the pigeons surrounding us, begging for baguette crumbs. I'm starting to get into the idea. The girl is much younger, and hey, it would be quite something to prove I've still got it. The girl looks at me for a long moment, pursing her lips thoughtfully. Then she says,
$100 and you can have me. Otherwise, no deal."
I burst out laughing, pull a fiver out of my flat wallet, stand up unsteadily, and say, "Thanks for the company. Keep the change. That saxophonist is really something, and I think I'll just head back to square one." I didn't go back down to the cellar of Caveau de la Huchette to look for lust my own age. Instead, avoiding the dark alleys, I walked back to my hotel with the image of a man playing the saxophone in my mind, listening for possible footsteps behind me. The unlit, empty streets of a metropolis can be treacherous to a lonely, drunken man.